things that resist them because Jesus walks on those things. So when this scripture is preached, I think Jesus is the real star. So what do we do when it feels like the wind is against us? You ever been there? Like there's this resistance. You think what you're doing is right and good, but there's just so much resistance. Welcome to life. John Eldridge says, good will always be resisted. So much, that is so true. Sometimes we think, oh, I shouldn't be doing this because there's so much resistance, it's so hard. No, that may be saying to you, this is exactly what you need to do. All this resistance proves that. Going forward, doing good is often hard. There's resistance. By the way, if you don't believe there is somebody out there called Satan, and his very name means one who resists, if you don't believe there's somebody out there called Satan, you know what you end up doing? You end up blaming yourself for all your problems or blaming God. God, why are you resisting me? Maybe it's not God at all. Maybe it's that guy who's called Satan or Satan, the one who resists us. Good will always be opposed. There'll always be a resistance when we're doing good. You can just be guaranteed by that. So what do we do when we feel like we are against the waves? We are rowing into the wind against the waves. Here's some advice. First of all, remember, you are loved. Wait a minute. You're talking about fear. What's love got to do with it, you know? Remember you are loved. Because when there's resistance, it seems that we were being opposed. Life gets hard, and you feel like the wind is against you. Sometimes you think, God doesn't love me. Jeremiah says this, God has loved you with an everlasting love. How long is that? God has loved you with an everlasting love. God loves you. Secondly, choose to have faith. When Jesus says, don't fear, that means we can make another choice. And the opposite of fear is faith. Choose to have faith. Philippians 4:13, you probably know that scripture, says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How big is all? You know? Choose to have faith. Choose to have faith. I'm in the wrong place. I'm not following my own notes. Okay. Forget that for a minute. We'll come back to it. Secondly, when it feels like the wind is against you, remember, I am secure. John 10, I love John 10. Jesus likens himself as the shepherd of the sheep. And he says in that passage that nothing can snatch them from his hand. You are secure. Even when it feels like everything in the world is coming against you, opposing you, resisting you, like the wind is blowing in your face, nothing can snatch you from God. You are secure. Thirdly, follow your notes, your own notes here, Don. Keep on track, Don. I am forgiven. Remember that. Because when it seems like life gets hard and things are opposing us and the wind is in our face, sometimes we feel like I'm being punished or something. I've done something wrong. Hey, you are not being punished. You're being tested. I love Colossians. It says in the book of Colossians, the second chapter, it says, when we were dead in our sin, what was our condition spiritually? Dead. When you were dead in your sin, God made you alive in Christ Jesus and forgave all your sins. That's past tense. He forgave all your sin. 2,000 years ago on this cross, he forgave your sin. That's past tense. You are forgiven. You are not being punished. You're just being tested. And you're learning something through the test. And you're learning. Jesus walks on the things I fear. Jesus walks on the things that resist me. I need to keep my focus on him. Another thing to remember, when it seems like the wind is against us, God is with me. Hebrews 13 says, he will never forsake you. He's always there. You ever feel like he's a million miles away? You ever pray and it just feels like your prayers are bouncing off the walls? Am I the only one that ever feels like that? Just feel like, God, where are you? I can't sense you. I don't feel you. Where are you? You ever feel like that? Guess what? That's normal. We all feel like that sometimes. But we don't depend on our feelings. Your feelings will let you down, won't they? No, you depend on your faith. The scripture says he never leaves us. He is always there. So remember, when you're going through a test, he's there. He has not left you. So how do I conquer my fears when it feels like I'm walking on water? I would have loved to have seen this scene. Jesus comes walking on the water. It's night. By the way, at night, everything seems to be worse. These guys are tired. They've been up all day with Jesus, teaching, ministering. Now, he says, take a boat ride across the Sea of Galilee. Now, those old fishing boats had sails, but they also had oars. I don't think they were sailing into the wind. You can sail into the wind by taking 45s. But the mast is going to be going, or the, what do you call the thing that swings? Boom is going to be swinging back and forth, and it's going to be real slow. They're probably rowing into the wind. I have three kayaks that I never take out on a windy day. And there's a reason for that, because you just get blown all over everywhere. So they're rowing into the wind. The wind is blowing hard. Probably there's spray coming over the boat in their faces, and the waves are coming in and they're bailing. And, you know, it's kind of a frightful thing, and it's dark. It's night, and they're tired. And at times like that, your fears just tend to grip you. And Jesus comes walking on the water, and they think he's a ghost. And Peter bravely says, if it's really you, tell me to come to you. And I can almost see him turn around looking at the disciples as he gets out of the boat. Hold my beer, friends. Check this out. And then he looks down. Oops. He's probably thinking, this is close to the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life. And he begins to sink. And there's that word immediately again. Immediately, Jesus reaches out his hand and takes him and pulls him up. I wonder how many times I've struggled and struggled. And I feel like I'm just sinking. And Jesus is there saying, dude, reach out your hand. And it's when I finally, do that, then immediately he pulls me up. And immediately Jesus pulled Peter up. So what do I do when it feels like I'm walking on water and all this fear is coming at me? Ask God for help. Matthew 14:30. As soon as Peter said, Lord, help me, save me, immediately Jesus reached out his hand. Choose to have faith. I know I mentioned that earlier. I'm mentioning it again because I wasn't following my own notes. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Faith is the opposite of fear. You can either give in to fear or you can choose to have faith. Thirdly, ask God to fill your heart with love. Wait a minute. We're talking about fear, and here you're bringing up love again. What's love got to fear to do with fear? What's love got to do with it? That just popped in my head. That happens all the time. If you're a musician, you know everything takes you to a song, okay? What's love got to do with it? What's love got to do with it when I'm in fear? Here's a neat scripture. It's found in 1 John 4:18. It says, perfect love casts out fear. If you're operating in the love of God, fear is out the window. All my life, I've put myself in scary places in ministry. I've hung around with scary people, you know, bikers and drug addicts and alcoholics, and I've been in prisons and jails and started a church at a hippie commune. And just, you know, that's my ministry. I've always gone to freaky places and hung out with freaky people. Okay, probably says something about me, doesn't it? But you know, I get in these places where it's really, really dark and a lot of people be afraid. And I don't feel afraid at all because I just feel a lot of love in my heart. And when you're loving on people, fear just doesn't have a place in your heart. Here's what I found out about a lot of big, big, scary people. The bigger they are, the harder they cry. So you get a hand on their back and say, can I pray for you, brother? Can I pray for you, brother? And all of a sudden, here they're boo-hooing, you know. Love casts out fear. You don't have to be afraid if you're operating in love. So ask God to fill your heart with love when it feels like you're walking on water. Ask God to give you a sound mind. I love this scripture in 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, phobos, but a spirit of love, power, self-control, or a sound mind, says one other version. Ask God to give you a sound mind. I spent 15 years as a chaplain in the Brown County Jail, and I dealt a lot with tornado head. You know what tornado head is? It's when your mind gets fixated on something, and it just goes whoop, 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 and you're caught in this cycle, and it just goes deeper and darker until the depression and the anxiety come, and you're a mess. I saw so much of that in jail ministry. Probably the hardest time for an inmate is during lockdown. They get locked down for 2 hours in the afternoon so the guards can have lunch and rest. So they're sent to their cells and they're locked down. Then at night, they're locked down all night. During the day, in our jail, we have cell blocks. There's 4 cells upstairs, 4 downstairs, but they can come down and all guys can mingle around in the cell block during the day. But when they have lockdown, they have to go to their cells and they're locked in their cell all night. And our jail's small enough that usually you're in a cell by yourself, even though there's a couple of bunks in there. The hardest time in an inmate's life is that time when they're locked down overnight, because all their fears and all their anxieties come to visit them. They're thinking about lawyering up. Saying, man, I don't think I can do any hard time. You know, they're thinking about, they've lost all control, literally lost all control of their lives. That's a scary thing. So they lay on their bunk, can't sleep. They get tornado head, whoop, 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 thinking about all the things that could happen to them. They're breathing fast and shallow, starting to tremble, starting to sweat. Then the panic attack comes. You ever had a panic attack? It feels like you want to get out of your skin and run away. It's a terrible thing. And I can't think of how many times I sat down with some inmate who was having panic attacks, and I said, okay, brother, here's the first thing you do. Take 4 deep breaths. Breathe in, purse your lips, breathe out with force. In through your nose, out through your lips. Do it 4 times. That brings that shallow breathing under control. Your heart begins to slow down. Now look around the room. Tell me 4 things you see in this room. Well, they look, well, there's that and that and that. And that. Okay. What do you smell in here? Well, in the Brown County Jail, some of us, not a likable scent. What do you smell? What do you hear? Well, I can hear those guys out in the exercise yard, and I hear those guys in the cell block over there. What did you just do? You know, reach down, feel your uniform. What's it feel like? Touch a desk. What's that feel like? You just use that person. You use four of his five senses to reconnect him to his environment. That's called grounding. And when you're having a panic attack, you are not grounded. You are disconnected from your environment. So you've just disconnected or reconnected the person to their environment. And then I would say, here's some things you need to focus on, brother. When you get tornado head, and it's not just people in jail who get that, right? When you get tornado head, focus, focus, focus on Jesus. He's there because he immediately reaches out his hand. So keep your focus on Jesus, not on your circumstances. Peter was doing well until he looked down to see what he was walking on. Keep your focus on Jesus, not on your circumstances. Trust the Holy Spirit in you. Dave said it. Trust the Holy Spirit in you. I got this from Doc Steph. Are you still awake back there, brother? Okay, good. On Facebook. See, Facebook is a nice thing, okay? But I got this from Doc Steffi on Facebook. Let me read it. The Holy Spirit isn't merely a source of comfort for difficult days, but the active power of God working or God at work within his people. When Israel stood trapped between Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea, there was no strategy left to devise. No strength left to summon, and no human solution left to pursue. Their answer to this panic wasn't found in their ability, but in God's presence. He made a way where none existed. The same Spirit who split the sea, who empowered the prophets, and who raised Christ from the dead now dwells within our hearts. Wrap your head around that. Here's what it means. Fear doesn't get the final word over my mind. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of a sound mind. Obstacles don't get the final word over our futures. Impossible situations don't get the final word over our lives. So often we exhaust ourselves white-knuckling our way through life. I'm such an independent person. It's hard for me to let people help me. Anybody else like that? So I tend to white-knuckle through life, you know. Yet Scripture calls us to trust before we can see, stand firm before breakthrough comes, and to remember that deliverance belongs to the Lord. If you're facing a situation today that feels overwhelming, remember, you're not relying on you, your own strength. The Holy Spirit goes before you. He is working behind the scenes and will make a way. So turn the pressure off, stop trying to part your own seas, and trust the one who already conquered the storm, because the Scripture says, not by my might, nor my power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Trust the Holy Spirit, and then persevere. I love that chapter in Hebrews, 11th chapter, all the heroes of the faith. I especially like reading about Moses. It says, he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Somehow, Moses has this ability to look through time, space, and see the day of Jesus. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. I learned a lot about perseverance being a long-distance runner. You were a long-distance runner too, weren't you, brother? You did the mini several times. My brother was a long-distance runner. Runs in our family, I guess. But I was a long-distance runner for about 30 years, and every day I would go out and I would run 4 or 6 miles. I ran by a guy one day, it was 95 degrees, and he was sitting in the shade, and as I ran by, he said, "Why do you do that?" And I said, "There's a fat old man chasing me." I've kept him at bay for a long time, you know. But I learned a lot of things about myself running. I learned to persevere. I learned that when it really hurts, you just keep going. I remember one day I was running a 10K with a guy, and I hadn't been a runner very long. And I said to him, I said, "Man, does it ever quit hurting?" He said, "No." I thought, okay, that helps to know that. Yes, it just hurts. You run through the pain. You learn to persevere. I think the best lesson on perseverance I ever had was in a race called the Limestone Run. It was a 10K. It started at Bedford North Lawrence High School, and it went down along Limestone Creek, and so it was called the Limestone Run. And it was 100 degrees as we were about to start that race. And they were about to black flag it. They said, "No, it's too hot. We can't be responsible. We can't let you run." And we're all going, "Man, we want to run. We want to run." Runners don't make sense, okay? They're a little crazy. But anyway, "We want to run. We want to run." And they said, "Okay, we're going to wait an hour, and we'll start the race then." So they waited an hour. It was 95 degrees. So we start out down along Limestone Creek, which is down in the valley, and it's hot down there with a breath of fresh air. And we're running on pavement, and after a while, the heat just comes right up through your shoes, and you're burning up. I took off my shirt. I stuck it in the back of my running shorts. So all I'm wearing is my running shorts and my shoes, and I'm just burning up. At every water stop, I grab some and put them down my throat, dump them all over my head and my back, and keep going, you know. There was only one time I ever quit a race, and that was because I pulled a hamstring and had to, but usually I just toughed it out and kept going. Boy, I was tempted to stop that day. I thought, "What are you doing to yourself? This is absolutely crazy, you know. Just walk off the course." But I thought, no. I remembered something a guy told me. He'd been a runner at the University of Kentucky, was on scholarship to run there too, and he said, "When you feel like you need to quit, kick. If you're a trained athlete, if you demand more of your body, it will deliver you." You ever feel that, Barry? Instead of quitting, just pick up the pace. So I picked up the pace, and it's like all of a sudden this energy came from somewhere, and I kept going. And I also remembered something else I'd learned in training, that is concentrate on the finish. And I thought, when we started this race, there was cold Gatorade and watermelon. And I focused on watermelon. And it got me through that race. And it tasted so good, you know. Persevere, which means just keep going. Even when it's tough, even when it hurts, just keep going. I picked on you about your phobias. I guess I ought to fess up in church and talk about mine. You know what my phobia is? Being a long distance from home and being deathly ill. I think I developed it in 20 years I traveled. I got to test that one time. We were flying to Russia to speak at a Bible institute to train Christian leaders. And in the airport in Frankfurt, Germany, I had this attack of something. It was terrible. And I was just instantly sicker than a dog. Well, we ate at McDonald's in the airport in Chicago, so I figured it's food poisoning. But we had a long layover, and the whole time I'm laying on a bench there in the airport, I'm just sicker than a dog. But finally I got to feeling a little better, and I said, "Bob, I think we can make it. Let's go." So we flew on to Russia. So I got to Russia. Our host met us, and they took us to this huge old apartment building. By the way, most things in Russia are ugly if you get out of Moscow and St. Petersburg. Rest of it's like a third world country, kind of undeveloped. So they take us this ugly old apartment building. We're way up in this thing, and in the middle of the night, I had another attack, and it was worse than the one I had in Frankfurt, Germany. And I literally thought I was checking out. I woke up Bob, and he woke up our host, and they called a Russian ambulance. You would have to see a Russian ambulance to believe it. And they took me to a Russian hospital. I still can't give blood because I was in that hospital. Duh. It was dirty. You know, when we went in, I thought we're going in a parking garage. It wasn't a parking garage. It was the hospital. They finally took me in a smaller concrete room, drab. There was these hard wooden chairs and a desk. And a doctor came out and sat down at this desk. And he's real gruff and unfriendly. And he said they were going to send me upstairs for an x-ray, so they did. And then they said, we're going to put you in a room. Well, the room had 12 other Russians in it. It was a ward, and TV was blaring all night, you know. And I'm looking around just thinking, where am I? I was in this hospital looking. It looked like a hospital, or excuse me, a military bed with a stuffed cotton mattress. They put an IV in me. I have no idea what was in it, but it actually had a glass container and a big long needle. This place is so primitive. And in the middle of the night, I was horrified. I'm laying there thinking, I'm checking out in Russia. Next to me was Ilya. Ilya and Olga are songwriters, Russian people, just awesome people. Ilya was sitting on this hard wooden bench with no back on it. He sat there all night and prayed for me. And in the middle of the night, I'm lying there thinking, I'm dying. And all of a sudden, this peace came over me. I kind of likened it to what Paul felt when he was adrift on the Mediterranean Ocean. And it says an angel came and visited him and comforted him and said, don't be afraid. And in the middle of the night, lying in this hospital in Russia, experiencing my phobia, a peace came over me. I didn't see an angel. I just saw Ilya sitting there praying for me. But you know what? The fear went away. And I thought, Russia's as good a place to die as any. It'll look real good in my obituary that I was ministering in Russia when I died. Hey, that ain't bad, you know. But I just had peace. That didn't come from me. No way. Came from somewhere else. So when it seems like the wind is against you and you're walking on water and you're facing your biggest fear, Jesus is waiting to immediately reach out his hand. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you're always there, even at the hardest times in our lives. Help us to keep our focus on you and not on our circumstances. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Since I don't know what's going on next, I guess I'll just leave stage right.
Hello, hello. I believe we're just doing a song, ministry song? Okay, cool. Don, does it mean you're getting old when you have to have your glasses? Thank you.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born in his spirit and washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Praising my Savior,
and praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. Don, thank you so much. I appreciate immediately. I've always thought of you as that persevering person that's just always there. But it seems like whenever we need anything, it's immediate. It seems like Jesus can be far away, but that immediacy is what I really caught from today. So thank you. I hope you guys have a great day. I know we're all recovering from our 4th of July festivities and all those types of things. You maybe have leftovers. My number is in the directory. If you need me to pick any of those up, I'll distribute them to my refrigerator. But actually, I hope you have a blessed day. We don't have any particular news. We do have the ladies thing, 6 o'clock this coming Saturday here. And then, of course, Tuesday night, Rick is the hub. Tuesday night is on the hub. Time? 4:30, the hub, the building in the back. If you've never had a chance to experience that, let me encourage you to do that. Especially as we run up here through the summer and into the fall, we'll get busier, and things, it's just very helpful to be a part of that type of ministry. Let me pray for us. I don't know what you're doing this afternoon, but I hope it's a great time, and then you guys have an awesome day, and thank you for coming. Father, we thank you for the word given by our brother Don. We thank you that you are immediately present and available. You conquer all of the fears that we bring into this life, and we thank you for the love that you shower upon us. Minute by minute, second by second. We pray that you would take us out into the world today. May we take this message of love and courage and strength and resting in you and all the things that we've heard through song and through the word today. We take it out to a world that desperately needed to hear this message of hope, this message of love, this message of salvation that comes through your son, Jesus Christ. And we pray all things through him in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day.